Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Alrighty, boys and girls, I would say headlines are brought to you by, of course, our friends at VenueKings.com.
Touchdown, Washington!
Speaking of that, by the way, let's just get right to it, Nick. There is breaking news, as we speak, from the Pacific 12 Conference, and our friend from the San Jose Mercury News, at Wilner Hotline, John Wilner, who joins us every Tuesday at 4:20, courtesy of Simply Seattle, is with us on the phone for a couple of minutes. John, first of all, thanks for doing this, and second of all, what do you know? Tell the people.
Well, I don't know as much as people would probably want to hear, but they have voted to play, is my understanding, and right. that includes basketball. So the basketball season is going to start right around November 25th with everybody else.
And it looks like we're seeing here seven games beginning on November 6th. Was that at all a surprise? I know you were kind of 50-50 on whether it was going to be a Halloween or the next week.
Yeah, well, definitely one of those two. I know that they really wanted to get going on Halloween. I have to imagine that what happened today at Boulder probably put a damper on that, right? Colorado was one of the teams that really wanted to start on Halloween, and they, you know, Boulder County came down and banned all gatherings for people ages 18 to 22 for the next 2 weeks, making it hard for Colorado to get ready to play.
And you think everybody again plays seven games, meaning the title game on that same day, we could see number two versus number two, three versus three, and so on, you think?
Yeah, that's what I believe is going to be the case. They want to get as many games in as possible. I mean, it's TV money. It's competition. There's no reason not to. The only thing I would say about that is, and I'm assuming that they're going to keep the championship game on the 19th, but they will play those five games will be the opposite day. So championship on Saturday, those games I would think would be on Friday or vice versa.
Now, financially for the conference, this guarantees a New Year's Six spot for the conference, which is $4 million, and then a share of the $66 million from the playoffs, even if they don't make it, right?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, I'm just going off of what happened the last time the Rose Bowl was in the was part of the playoff, so that would have been 3 years ago. Pac-12 collected, I want to say it was about $80 million for football postseason, so I'm assuming it'll be right around there.
Gotcha. John Wilner, listen, man, great stuff. Appreciate the breaking news. Follow John at Wilner Hotline on Twitter for all the news from the Pac-12, and we'll talk on Tuesday at 4:20. Thanks, pal.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it, man. John Wilner with us. That is great news. And by the way, speaking of the Pac-12, a former Pac-12 quarterback himself, Mike Holmgren, joining us right now.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man in the NFL presents Mike Holmgren.
They, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Powered by Toyota of Kirkland. Visit toyotaofkirkland.com. By Windermere at windermere.com. By Team Bruce at Guild Mortgage. And by Car Toys, a better way to go.
This is what I had my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I started coaching. They can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Can't start that way.
No, you can't, okay?
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Mike Holmgren every week on this radio show talking all things football. And when I mean all things football, I mean NFL, I mean college, I mean high school, I mean peewee football, the whole spiel. Here he is, former head coach of your Seattle Seahawks, our friend and yours, Michael Holmgren. How are you, man?
What's up, buddy? How's it going?
Well, we're fired up. We just found out the Pac-12 is going to play some semblance of a football season. That means our Huskies. That means your Trojans. That means Ian's Cougars. The whole thing is getting going. Can you close your eyes and even imagine a scenario where the Pac-12 just said the heck with it and didn't play at all this year?
No. You know, I couldn't. I hope this works out the way they want it to.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a little bit of the interview you had before about Colorado, what's going on there. And, you know, we talked about it before, how young people, it's hard for them to just keep their distance and do what they're supposed to do. And so they had to take steps. The county had to take steps. So, but I'm really glad that they're going to have some football. I pray that they use proper diligence in how they do things and keep people safe, kind of like the NFL is doing. The NFL is doing a pretty good job, actually.
Well, it seems like they've got plenty of time to get ready now. How much time would you need back when you were at BYU to comfortably get your team ready from 0 to 60 to get your team ready to play a conference game?
You know, Dick, if you remember, I think if memory serves me correctly, we had 2 weeks of training camp. You had spring practice, and then you don't see anybody during the summer. And then you come in for 2 weeks and have your double sessions and whatever, and then play the first ball game. So I think they'll have enough time. I don't know. I didn't hear the whole thing. I don't know. When are they going to start? When do they plan to start?
November 7th. So you're talking
six
a
weeks.
Month and a half.
Yep.
Okay, that should be plenty of time.
Yeah.
As long as the players have continued to work out and are in sensible shape, that should be plenty of time.
Well, Jimmy Lake told us last night that they're going to practice next Tuesday no matter what, and that was regardless of their decision. So if they start on Tuesday, that's the 29th, that gives them 5 weeks to get ready before that first game, and that may be on a Friday, so we'll see. But Mike Holmgren, again, is with us on the air. You know what? Answer the question that Dick and I were kicking around this week. What was your confidence level in a Seahawks victory when the Patriots got the ball back from their own 19-yard line with 1:42 left to go, down 5?
Well, I felt pretty good about it. I didn't, you know, Cam Newton was unbelievable, but he has not always been unbelievable. And that's a long ways to go to needing a touchdown to win the game. That's a long ways to go. I didn't think that situation had to even happen because of the third down call, but the Seahawks third down call. But it happened, and then, of course, they missed a block on New England missed a block on Collier, and they won the game. Unbelievable ending.
Well, and they missed a block and also gave the Seahawks another look at the same play. I mean, how often when you're calling plays, do you go back to the well on the exact same play in the exact same situation that you'd already showed the defense before?
Yeah, I hear you, Dick, and I was thinking that myself. Having said that, it's like handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch, you know, I mean, or to Carson in short yard situations. They're tough to stop. It's tough to stop them, even if you know what play is coming, if the other team blocks it halfway decently. Because mm-hmm. Cam Newton is a load. That's not like a regular quarterback running in there.
Yeah.
But, you know what, I thought what they could have done, and I thought it was open as I looked prior to the snap of the ball. If he had started taking a step off tackle and then popped it to the outside,
right,
which he has done before. He's done that before. He did it in the first game of the year. I think he would have walked in, but he didn't do it, and Seahawks won.
Well,
unbelievable game to broadcast.
You were there doing the game for Westwood One, but Mike Holmgren again is with us, and just go back to what you said a couple of minutes ago, because I sensed a little exasperation with that third down play by the Seahawks. So I've asked you a million times, why can't you put a fullback in the game and hand the damn ball, the ball off to a halfback and shove it up the A-gap? I don't know why it's so freaking hard for these teams to do that, but I'm not angry. I'm calm. Tell me about that Tell me about that third and one play, man.
Well, I can comment on it now because I never made any of those mistakes. But having said that, no, it was. I thought you play the odds, you know, and even if they first of all, you go, okay, I'm going to take two downs to get in the yard. That's in my mind, so I'm going to call plays to get those two downs. And if say I gain 6 inches on the first one, 6 inches on the second one, I still get a first down. You know, if I'm going to go for it on fourth down. If I'm not, and I don't make it on third down, then New England has to use one of their timeouts. Then their situation going that far with a little less time on the clock, the odds are better for the Seahawks in that situation. But I think they called a pass play that he had other options, you know, but they were in a man, straight across man, and no one could get open. And so he, you know, the other thing is he usually runs for a yard or runs and gets 2 yards. So there's a lot of things that could have happened on the play other than throwing the ball deep. And I remember on the broadcast, I go, you know, the confidence level is really an important thing. But sometimes, let's make sure we're not overconfident and we can complete any ball, you know. And I thought, yeah, I didn't think they'd have to be in that situation, Dave.
You mentioned the odds, Coach, and the odds said, according to the analytics folks, that Pete should have gone for it on his own 31-yard line on 4th-and-1 instead of punting the ball away. 17% better chance of winning if he were to do that. Would you have had the gumption to actually go for it when the odds say that they're in your favor to do so?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I, you know what, all the analytics guys, you know, I can't say it on the air.
Yeah.
But really, you know, I mean, they're analytics guys. They've never been fired. They've never been yelled at by the owner. they're just in their little rooms with the numbers. Yeah, do this.
Yeah. Something about putting something where the sun don't shine, something like that. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Mike Holmgren with us. Well, I'll tell you what, man. There's concern about this pass rush. There's concern about this defense. Cam Newton threw for 312 yards in the second half of this game on Sunday. So as fired up as people are about Russell Wilson and the offense, how concerned would you be if you were Ken Norton Jr. and Pete Carroll about your defense?
Well, there's work to be done there. That's for sure. And again, I made the comment that but having said that, I said for a team to beat Seattle right now with how they're playing on offense and the weapons they have, they are really good on offense. I mean, they're as good as they've ever been on offense. And the team will have to score 40 points to beat them. Now, look at they have work to do on defense. They really do. Their pass rush. Cam, one of the reasons Newton threw for so many yards is that he had some time to do that. And I've always said this. I don't care if it's Stephon Gilmore or any great secondary guy, Richard Sherman or whatever. If you give my quarterback time to throw, we can figure out some way to get the – and he's online. I mean, he's accurate.
Right.
We can complete balls. And so that's what happened, I think, in the game. And they have some work to do, Dave.
I got a follow-up on that pass rush I want to get to, but we'll do it next segment. Mike Holmgren with us on Softy and Dick on 950KJR.com.
Now back to Mike Holmgren, powered by Toyota of Kirkland, by Windermere Real Estate, by Team Bruce at Guild Mortgage, and by Car Toys on your home for the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, Mike Holmgren with us on Softy and Dick. We do have some breaking news from the Pac-12. Multiple reports, nothing confirmed by the conference yet. There is a media conference at 5, which we will carry on the air. Seven-game season. Everybody plays 7 games starting November 7th, the Pac-12 championship game on December 19th. On that day, everybody else will play a 7th game as well. Second place in the North versus second place in the South and so on. But we're going to confirm this at 5 o'clock tonight. 7-game season for UW, for the Pac-12 starting on the 7th of November. That voice right there that you heard, that grunt, that's our friend Mike Holmgren with us right here on the radio show. We mentioned the pass rush of the Seahawks, Mike, in the last segment. I want to do a follow-up on that because Pete Carroll said this week he thought guys were getting home, they just weren't wrapping up. Did you see that Sunday against Cam Newton?
Well, he got out of a couple jams, yeah, because of his size and how big he is. Now, they got home a little bit, but not nearly enough. You know, Cam's a really fine player, but he had a little too much time the other night. And they did get home a couple times, but he escaped and then made plays, either running or throwing the ball. It's just too many yards, Dave. You can't give up that many yards, and they've done it in the first two ball games. So it's you know, and Pete's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna be too critical of his guys. He's not gonna do that. So, but they need some rush on the pass on the quarterback.
How much can your offensive play calling help your defense? Is a run-heavy approach a little more beneficial for the D than a fast-paced, pass-heavy approach?
Well, it's time, Dick. You know, I mean, if you score quickly and the other team gets the ball and move quickly, or if you come out throwing and you don't get the first down, but you haven't used much time off the clock, yeah, it doesn't help your defense. Your defense gets tired.
Yeah.
They're on the field a long time, particularly in this age where, you know, and during the pandemic, where they seem to be getting gassed, all teams, not just the Seahawks, getting gassed a little sooner out there. They're not quite ready. And so, yeah, play calling can help your defense at least to give them a blow.
Yeah.
Now, the play calling doesn't do a thing about the defense if there are certain weaknesses in the defense. They're always going to be there, but you can give them let them rest a little bit.
Easy for some folks to say that Russell Wilson is playing the way he is because he's throwing the ball more than he ever has, and that's not true. As a matter of fact, there's 4 years, Mike, where he has thrown the ball more after two games than he has so far this year. So it's not just about pass attempts, but why is Russell Wilson playing so well, in your opinion?
Well, they've managed to put talent around him on offense. They have very good running backs, I think, in Hyde and Carson and even Homer when he gets a chance in there. And the receiving group is really good. You know, as we pray they stay healthy, you know. And then Metcalf is in his second year, and he showed it the other night against one of the best defensive backs in football, who followed him all over the field, by the way. And he had a really fine football game. And if it's going to have a breakout game, or at least realize how good he can be, that was the game. And then Locke, you know, Tyler Lockett is just he's a very good player. They're just good. The Olsen's a good tight end, even though he dropped that first pass. So Russell is playing with a lot of confidence, and he and give Brian Schottenheimer his credit too, because clearly in the offseason they worked, they've talked, and it seems to me in the passing game he's just making great decisions. He comes back, he doesn't like that, he goes there, bang. He doesn't like it down the field, he throws it to the sideline, bang. And then, of course, he's always been a great deep thrower. So, and they're making catches. I mean, it's all coming together. It's all been good, and there'll be games where it won't be like the first two games, but he's playing like he's played for 9 years now, and he understands the game, and he understands his teammates.
And the offense is coming together for a lot of teams, Coach. I mean, we've seen the highest scoring first 2 weeks in NFL history by a pretty good margin. I thought it's a little counterintuitive, because you'd think that the side of the ball you need the most prep time and the most time in preseason would be the offense, but that hasn't been the case. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, Dick, that's a good question, because I would have always said that. I always said the offense needs a little more time, and in early football games, I think the defense has an advantage. Particularly now that you didn't know what you're going to see early in the game as far as defenses go. I think one of the things is the game has evolved, you know, and the NFL has always changed and always evolved and is always changing. And the emphasis in college now, they're scoring points. They're moving the football. They're passing the ball. They're running it. And that game now has come into the NFL. You know, you're going to see a game Monday night, I think, with Baltimore and, well, you're going to, first of all, the Seahawks-Dallas game, I think, is going to be high scoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the Baltimore-Kansas City game, that'll really be a fun game to watch. Even if you don't like football, you should watch that game.
Oh, no question about it. What do you make of this Cowboy game on Sunday? I mean, the Cowboy defense is banged up, but man, their offense has weapons, pal. What do you make of this matchup Sunday with Dak and the guys?
It's the same thing. I think if they play, you know, you can never guarantee a high scoring game. In fact, when I really thought we were going to be involved in one and gave it some thought, typically it wasn't. But I think the first two ball games, both of these offenses have a lot of talent and can move the football. And it'll come down to what it always comes down to in a close game, turnovers and things like that. But I think you're going to see a high-scoring game. I don't think Dallas's defense is up to taking away the Seahawks, and I don't think the Seahawks right now might not have an answer for everything Dallas has.
What do you think of Dak Prescott as a quarterback? He's put up numbers, but not a lot of big wins on his resume, particularly in the playoffs.
No, that's true, Dick, but I think he's young. You know, and I think he's a very good player. I think he's physical. He can make all the throws. He's got to learn how to play the position. He's like some of those guys that had used to run a lot. And I had one in Steve Young. And then when he learned that he didn't have to run all the time, he still had that weapon if he chose it. But he could drop the ball here, drop the ball there, and keep the ball moving, get the ball into Ezekiel Elliott's hands, get the ball into, you know, Amari Cooper. He's got weapons, so get the ball out. And then his running and his strength will always be there. And so I think he's a really good player too.
Mike Holmgren again is with us on the radio show. What do you make of Mike McCarthy? Number one, the way things ended in Green Bay. And number two, there's a lot of folks that believe that Mike McCarthy is exactly what Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott have needed for many, many years when they had Jason Garrett. What do you make of him as a head coach?
Well, I think Mike's an excellent head coach. I really do. I don't know exactly what happened in Green Bay. He'd been there a long time. And, you know, sometimes you need a change. You just need a change. And, you know, he had a really fine football team, and in some people's respects there, he underachieved. But they had a little change in leadership in the organization. And I think he fell victim to that just a little bit. As you guys know, it happens in the NFL. But he's a really fine coach. He's a good guy. The players listen to him. No, he's a good man.
He made a decision in that Atlanta game. I mean, they ended up winning the game, but I thought it was curious. He's down 9. He just scored a touchdown. 5 minutes left to go in the game. He's down 9. He elects to go for 2 to get it to a 7-point game. He fails. If he'd have just kicked the extra point, he's only 1 score in a 2-point conversion down. What does your math tell you when you're down 9? Do you just kick the extra point to get it to a 1-score game? You try to go for 7.
No, I think I do that. I kick the extra point.
Yeah.
But again, I think you're seeing it more now. You are seeing guys going fourth down more. You are seeing the 2-point conversion because they listen to these analytic people who are locked in the room, and every once in a while they let them out. They say, "What should I do?" Well, 60% of the time, and then all of a sudden they start to listen to those guys. So, but no, I think in that situation. You know, kick the, and then you get a 1 score and a 2-point conversion, and you're in good shape.
So you would not be a fan of hiring an analytics guy if you were a head coach today.
I didn't say that, did I?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You intimated it.
I mean, don't you have to kind of embrace?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Don't you kind of have to embrace change, whether you like it or not? I mean, you would have a guy, you would have a nerd sitting somewhere in some office, maybe in the basement at the VMAC, who maybe you see once a month at the most, but you would have a guy on your staff, right?
Maybe. I suppose I'd have to bring him lunch, too, down in the basement. And bring him all that, you know.
Well, Mike Holmgren, again, is with us on the radio show. I want to go back to what you mentioned about those running backs. Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde, Rashad Penny is banged up, and you really sounded like you were thrilled with that depth at running back. What is it about this group that you like, man?
Well, I like how they play. You know, Carson, Chris, he's a really good player, and he's tough to stop. And I really like the fact that he really impresses me with his ability to catch the ball, too, in the passing game. So, and they use him, and they should continue to use him in the passing game. Drop the ball off to him and let him run. And he's just a tough guy. Very rarely do you see the first guy get him down. And that's a very impressive thing to me. Hyde, I think, is a nice changeup. He's very fast. He's not as big. But he runs hard, too. I'm very impressed with their runners. And, you know, like I said, Brian Schottenheimer, I think whether he comes out and he throws 11 out of 12, the first 12 plays, or he comes out and mixes it up, he's doing a really good job of mixing it up. And they're tough to get a handle on. And as long as he continues to do that, I don't see anybody stopping him, really. They could stop themselves with something, but I don't see anyone stopping him. I really don't.
$100,000 fine for Fangio and for Pete Carroll and your boy John Gruden for not wearing that mask appropriately. How would you handle that situation if you had to coach a football game wearing that mask 100% of the time? Would you go the welder look like Andy Reid?
Well, I just texted Reid and Gruden on this and told Gruden if he needed a little extra dough to help him with the fine, don't phone me. I said, you can handle it yourself. Your contract's big. And Andy, I said, keep spraying that stuff on your mask so you can see through it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the one. I think that's the best way to go. I totally understand. I wear a mask now all the time. I think it's the right thing to do. But it fogs up my glasses. It's because I have a little asthma at times, and it doesn't help. That I get it.
Right.
But the NFL has this rule, so they got to do it.
How much of that, Mike, how much of that rule do you think is just about optics that, hey, we're trying to help send a message that wearing a mask is important and we want our head coaches to help send the message?
Yeah, I think it's optics for the NFL. The NFL always does things with that in mind, I think, but it's the right thing to do. I think it's the right thing to do. So, and Pete said it well. I mean, he said, you know, every once in a while I got to get coached up too. Yeah. And so, good for him. You know, and then, but it's, yeah, we'll see, they're making a lot more money than I made. I never made very much money, so
yeah.
they can handle that fine.
Yeah, you got robbed, no doubt, in your career for sure. Hey, Mike, I got one more from the text line. 253 wants to know, says, Russell's playing better than ever because for the first time in his career has an OC upstairs in the booth. Eye in the sky, huge for a guy whose only weakness is his vision. Do you buy that?
You know what? I didn't know that until I read about it today.
Yeah.
That Shoddy was upstairs in the booth. And that's where I was with the 49ers, and really it is better. It is the best way to call plays because it's calm, you don't have people screaming all over you, and you can see things and you can write things down and you can plan. So I think that's part of it, yes. I think it helps in play calling.
Coach, we got 39 states playing high school football. We are not one of them. If you had a grandson that was a high school football player, would you be okay with him playing?
I'd follow the rules. You know, maybe it's because I got all these medical people in my family, but I would hate to see kids get sick on this thing. And so... but I hope the decision makers, I want the decision makers also to make proper decisions. And so that'd be so hard to watch your son not play.
Yeah.
That'd be really hard. But, you know, I don't have a good answer for you, Dick. I really don't. I would love him to play, but I'm going to follow the rules, and I don't want him getting sick or anybody
sure.
else.
Well, we know you'd follow the rules. You're not a rule breaker, never have been, right?
That's right.
So I guess the question I think that Dick is getting at, is that the right rule?
I would say it is the right rule.
Okay.
Gotcha. You know, as long as this thing is not under control.
Yep.
I'll bring up the Colorado thing again, or you'll see different schools and different situations where schools and kids are getting sick because they didn't separate and they didn't do the right stuff. And if you could guarantee me that we'd have testing and all that kind of stuff, that fast testing for the kids and masks and all that kind of stuff, then I'd probably go to bat for them. But until that happens,
gotcha.
I'd say let's be safe.
Mike, great stuff, man. Appreciate this, and we will talk in a week. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Dave.
Mike Holmgren with us on the radio show. Here's what we'll do. This is kind of a wacky day with a schedule, the Pac-12 announcement. There's going to be a webinar media call at 5 o'clock. We're going to carry that for you live. For those that don't know, the Pac-12, multiple reports saying they're going to restart on the 7th of November. Every team will play 7 games, with the 7th game being for the teams in the Pac-12 championship, the Pac-12 championship game. Everybody else then will play a cross-divisional game on that day. So a 7-game season starting November 7th. If you're curious to know if you can get to a Husky football game at all and watch it in person this year, we're going to give you the answer next on Softy and Dick.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.